Hi everyone, it's Matt Bloomfield at Wickham Wanderers and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. You'll observe I've stopped counting the episodes of this series. I think it's 9 though, if you are interested. I won't do it anymore, I promise. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from Phil in a few moments' time with our match briefing, looking back on Tuesday night's 2-2 draw in League One at Oakwell against Barnsley. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield and get his thoughts on that game as well. Lots more to bring you as well from Phil, including the latest on service stations. Their supplies, if you're looking at perhaps Christmas gift ideas, for example, that's on the way. Also, thanks to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, we'll hear from former striker Scott McLeish, who now works for the PFA and is an assistant manager himself. He holds the club's record for goals scored in a season. We'll get his thoughts and memories on his time at the club and also what he's up to these days too. We'll continue our backing of the Chair Girls. We'll hear from summer signing Jess Watkins, who's a TikTok content producer, you know. I know, or creator perhaps, that too, and goal scorer as it seems as well. We'll get her thoughts and also find out how the Chair Girls are getting on at the moment as well. Lots more to bring you about their news as well. I think that's about it. Feels like there should be more, but no, that'll do, won't it? We'll kick off though with our chat with Phil, regular on the show of course, well each week, if not. I don't think he's missed one, has he? Ever present. We'll talk more about the Barnsley game in a couple of moments' time, but we'll kick off with news which came to us between Saturday's game and the midweek trip up north, and that was the fact that the yellow card which was attributed to Tyreek on Saturday was in fact shown to Berly Lebala. Opta will be updating their records, you'll be pleased to know, and a case of mistaken identity, it seems.
There was quite a melee going on in the corner, and it certainly was, as the photographs have since proven, Berly Lebala swinging a corner flag around in the excitement of it all, and he got booked for it, which I think is kind of fair enough, actually. I haven't read that particular law in detail, but I think sort of ripping a corner flag out of the ground and waving it around in celebration is probably fair enough for a booking. But I did quite enjoy the referee sort of ticking him off and sending him back to the corner to reconstruct the corner flag and attach it into its mountings, which took him a little while, actually, because he's clearly not a groundsman. I think that was proven on Saturday. But yeah, lovely to see him score on Tuesday night as well and leave all the corner flags alone in celebration.
It's a good message, isn't it, for other players as well who might be tempted to do something similar.
Well, you know, I think I've never scored a goal in a professional football match, so I'd imagine it's probably quite an exciting thing to do. So you never know where the moment will take you. But yeah, there we are.
And the corner flag might be, you might make a beeline for that, mightn't you?
Well, I think actually, you know, it's reframed the corner flag, because often the somber image of a corner flag that you see on social media is normally used to impart news of a sacking or perhaps less sort of desirable news attached to a football club. So it's nice to see Berly Lebala perhaps reinvent the image of the corner flag. So good PR work.
And we should move seamlessly on to Barnsley. And Oakwell was never going to be an easy place to go. There are no easy games in any division, it appears. But there must be somewhere. But it was a fantastic start, anyway.
I think before the game, if you'd have sort of taken a survey of Wickham Wanderers fans and offered them a point at, say, 7 o'clock in the evening before kickoff, they'd have taken it. But I think it shows you how far that we've come, that at the end of the match, there was a tinge of disappointment that we hadn't got all three, because leading so late on and leading twice in a game, you'd want to see it out for the 3 points. But yeah, I think overall a point was, I think, fair enough. I think Barnsley had spells. It was a bit of an end-to-end game. It ebbed and flowed. And Barnsley certainly had spells where they were on top, as did Wickham. And I think the onslaught at the end as well, even after 2-2, there was still, I think, 4 or 5 corners maybe that were taken after that by Barnsley, with the wind behind them the rain whipping in. And it was back to the wall stuff at the end. And Wickham saw that out, which was positive. But I think, yeah, it's kind of mixed emotions again, really. It was just sort of, yeah, okay, it's a good point. But then you're kind of looking at the other side of it going, oh, if we'd have just held on, that would have been a fantastic win against what could be a top six promotion rival if we can continue their good form. But yeah, I think overall, though, a point, a decent result and a fair result, I think, over the 90 minutes, having slept on it.
And 2 goals seems to be the in thing to be scoring in the game at the moment.
Yeah, that is really, really great, isn't it? That you know, we're the only team now in the country after City drew on Saturday as well. So we've now added an extra game to that run. And again, you know, speaking to Matt Bloomfield, he was sort of he keeps forgetting about it. He said obviously we'd rather be keeping more goals out the other end. But look, it's a great record to have in the top four divisions. And it shows you in the calendar year as well, Wycombe Wanderers have been fantastic. And you know, we talked about the mixed emotions as well, and Matt Bloomfield was no exception to that. So we spoke to him after the game in a very damp Oakwell.
On the balance of play, it was probably a fair result, but to go ahead twice and not come away with all 3 points, we have to be disappointed as well. We want to see the game out in those moments, but yeah, coming away to an extremely good football club with some very good players, you know, I think we have to really respect the point because this is not an easy place to come. But having said that, again, going ahead twice, we want to see the game out, and disappointed not to take all 3 points, having got our nose in front twice.
You spoke on Saturday about your disappointment at the first half performance, but what was your take over the full 90 tonight for Wycombe Wanderers?
Yeah, I thought there were some really good moments for us. You know, the way Barnsley press, we always know they're going to be high energy, so it was never going to be a free-flowing game because of our opposition and the tempo that they play at. So we had to respect that and try and plan accordingly. But yeah, I thought we were okay. I thought there were some real good moments and some stuff we could have done a lot cleaner. So we have to work on that. I thought we stood up to the physical threat that Barnsley held particularly well at times. With maybe two young centre-halves who are still learning their trade, and they would have taken a lot from tonight. Joey and Caleb both can have, you know, really good careers and had a real tough night tonight with Cosgrove, with the physical threat he brings, but I felt they dealt with it quite well at times. So yeah, so there's plenty to work on, but some good moments from us and some definitely some stuff to work on moving forward.
A great second half, and the tone was set by Berry Labala with a fantastic finish. He's in great form.
Yeah, it's good for Bez. You know, he brings such a intensity about his play and a real enthusiasm and an energy, and he's like that on the training ground and around the changing room. He wants the best for, you know, not only himself but those around him as well. We think a lot of Bez. Took his goal really well. Lovely play from Sads down the left hand side. Great cross. And then we had some real, you know, close moments. I think we hit the bar. We've had some real close moments. We've got the second, and Richard who scored got the second. And like I say, we've had some real good moments at the top of the pitch and held a goal threat. And Bez, I thought, took his extremely well.
The first equaliser for Barnsley, Darryl made the double sub a few minutes before. You were trying to make a double sub yourself, weren't you, in the build-up to their equaliser. Was that something you were trying to get done quicker, maybe?
Yeah, we were trying to. We just felt like we just wanted to get that extra energy out wide for with Fred and G-Mac. Just couldn't quite get them on the pitch. They changed formation again, so we had to respect that. Obviously, the boy Humphreys has got a goal in him. We've seen that for several years. He can shoot off both feet. He's a very good player in those attacking moments. So, yeah, it's frustrating not to be able to get those two on. Whether that would have changed anything in those moments, we're not quite so sure. But, yeah, it's nice to have those fresh legs from the finishers at the moment. You know, we've got real competition amongst the squad, and every game we're able to mix and match and keep the energy, especially at the top of the pitch.
And goals from the bench, regardless of who it is, must be a real positive for you to have that in your arsenal.
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, the competition for places. I thought Danudo was excellent tonight. Unfortunately for him and for us, we missed him for 10 days, but I thought he was excellent. His hold-up play and the way he brings others into play, his unselfish nature of him, I thought he was excellent. But Rich comes on and really gives that goal threat for us as well. So, yeah, it's nice to have those options and those selection headaches because, you know, with those headaches, like I said earlier on, it brings heightened competition and heightened performance levels.
The second goal just seemed to define Richard Kone. The tenacity of that goal was what he's all about.
Yeah, it was, you know, and Rich is, you know, he knows where the back of the net is. And, you know, we spoke earlier in the season and, you know, I just keep asking him to keep getting in those areas because he's just got a knack of dropping on things. There's more to come from him. There's loads we can do with his game. He's desperate to learn. And in Danudo, he couldn't have a better partner and sidekick to try and learn off. And Dan takes great care of Richard in terms of those moments at the training ground and around the games as well. So, yeah, Richard's got a goal in him. We absolutely know that.
And at the end there, obviously the equaliser coming from a corner, but there were several corners forced in the late stages of the game and the wind and the rain swirling in as well. Was there a sense of an inevitability of that ball swirling in at the end there?
Yeah, I think, you know, the way that the physical element that Barnsley play with and the way that they deliver into the box, you know, there were several moments where they had too many corner opportunities, set-piece opportunities for my liking. I think we could have dealt with previous to those moments better and looked after the ball slightly better. But yeah, when you're getting two, three and four corners in a row, there's almost becomes an inevitability that one of them ends up in the back of your net. I thought Franco pulled off a very good save just previously, and there's a couple of moments where we could have cleared our lines, but like I say, I think there's a balance between my mind of being really disappointed that we come all away of all three, but absolutely respectful of a point, an extremely tough place to come.
And finally, eight league games, it's another two goals as well. The record continues.
Yes, it's nice. I just got reminded of it after the game. I'd forgotten. I was so immersed in the game. It's obviously nice. We want to stop as many going in the back of our net. We want to keep adding to our points total. But yeah, obviously, you know the way I want to play. You know the way I want the team to reflect me and us as a football club. And there's loads of work still to go, mate. There's loads that I feel this team can go and take on and improve and grow as a group. You know, you forget that we're still a fairly new group being put in together, really. So, there's loads of work for us to do, but some nice start to the season and plenty to work on improve moving forward.
And obviously really positive to have such a good start to the season, especially when you think back to the previous campaign, how that began as well.
Yeah, it's almost sort of toe for toe, isn't it, from the previous campaign? And I think it was around about this time that we started to go on a bit of a bad run. So hopefully that doesn't continue. The signs are that it won't. I think the squad is in a much better place than it was last season. It was heavily hit by injuries last season. I think we've got more strength in depth. In fact, we most undoubtedly have got more strength in depth. So I think from that point of view, things are looking up. I think Matt Bloomfield is a year on into his managerial career and I think has learned a huge amount. And we're starting to see the benefits of that as well. And it's great to watch, great to watch someone learn and evolve on the job for your team. But also the football is really good to watch too. There's certainly been a change of gear, change of style, and that's wonderful to see. But results are the all important things, obviously. So the fact that the results are good now and we're putting together a decent unbeaten run in the league. We're entertaining Crawley at home on Saturday, and you've quite rightly said at the top of the interview, Colin, that there's no easy games in League One. They've got a new manager, Crawley. We tend to make a habit of playing teams for the first time with a new manager. We all know what happens when the new manager walks in the door. Everyone raises their game by 10%, and Wickham have to deal with that on Saturday. But look, they're in a really good position. We've got a game in hand against a lot of teams above us. So, we're there or thereabouts in the top six. It's a very tight division still. I think Peterborough are quite a way down the table behind us, but only 3 points behind us. So I always say 10 games. We're approaching the 10-game mark. It'd be fascinating to see where we are, because in 2 to 3 games' time, we could even be knocking on the door of the top two, or we could be in 16th. That's how tight it is. So we'll have to see what happens between now and the next few weeks. There's an international break as well, so some teams may not be playing in that week. I very much hope that Wickham are travelling to Stockport on that Saturday. But yeah, we'll see what happens when everyone gets to the magic 10-game mark. But Wickham are really well placed, and it's been an entertaining start to the season, which I think is very important as well.
I was going to say, what are the main things you've taken from this not quite 10 games?
I think it's been, there's been touches of the John Gorman era. Goals at either end. We're scoring more than we're letting in, which is very important, as you know. But it's been entertaining. I think Wickham Wanderers have played some really good stuff. I think the substitutions are being used incredibly well in the second half. We've become a second half team, which we weren't for a while. So Barnsley last night, bringing on Fred Onyedimma and Gareth McCleary as a double substitution at that stage of the game with 15 minutes to go, was fantastic, because G-Max in great form. Fred looks to be in brilliant nick and really sort of getting himself up to match fitness. And what a set of substitutes to make at that stage of the game. Richard Kone is just going from strength to strength. So there's real positive signs everywhere. Joe Lowe and Caleb Taylor played exceptionally well last night. Declan Skura has emerged as a first-team squad member. So many positives, Colin, really. And it's just the enjoyment of watching the games. And, we'd all like to concede less goals. I think Matt Bloomfield would agree with that. But at the moment, we're scoring lots too. And the fans seem to be enjoying what's going on, which, it's an entertainment business in the end of the day. Results have to go with it too. And at the moment, we seem to be on the right side of that.
I think that's something that really stands out, isn't it? The style of play and the attacking and going forward and energy in the team as well, and organisation, of course.
Yes, yeah, I think you know, we're seeing it evolve over the few weeks, and look, at this stage of the season, there's still teams working each other out. You know, Huddersfield went off like a rocket, and then have had a really bad run, same as Charlton, and it's a case of where the analysts then step up and do their work, because they'll be, you know, poring over those opening games and fixtures for those two teams and working out what makes them tick, and then being able to stop it. And then they'll have to respond, Huddersfield and Charlton, and change things up and come back stronger, no doubt. You know, I think Wickham have maybe caught a few people by surprise after many years of playing in a certain way, very successfully, may I add. But I think we're still going under the radar a bit, which I think is excellent. A lot of the pundits in football, be it professional ones on the main broadcasters or the excellent variety you find on social media, aren't tending to give Wickham too much attention at the moment. We're sort of flying a little bit underneath the radar. I think credit to my good friend Nappers up at Fleetwood, who's a League One, and sadly for him at the moment, for Fleetwood, League Two aficionado. But he's definitely flying the flag for Wickham and really paying attention and astutely sort of commenting on what Wickham are doing at the moment and what Matt Bloomfield is building in terms of his squad depth. So not many are noticing that. But to be honest with you, I think that kind of suits us a little bit as well. I think we like to fly under the radar a bit, because you don't win anything for playing well at this stage of the season.
And great as well for a reward for travelling fans and obviously travelling commentators as well, and things you might find at service stations as well, which is very rewarding for yourself. But also, you know, for home games too, you know, it feels like we've said this a lot, but a great opportunity for fans to come and see Wickham again on Saturday and get behind the team at an exciting time as to what's going on.
Look, we'd love more people to come to Adams Park on a Saturday and on a Tuesday night and get behind the boys in a league fixture. The Villa game was fantastic. You know, over 8,000 people there to see what was a really good spectacle, really good game. And I think we can run lucky that night. And I really hope people caught the bug, and not the bug that I had at Barnsley last night, by the way, but the football bug that would enable them to come back to Adams Park and get excited at a league fixture and play their part in what is looking to be an incredibly exciting league campaign. So yeah, hopefully that can be built upon too.
And we do have a service station here, of course, at Beaconsfield, which you're welcome to explore also.
I often pop in. I think it's the finest service station in the country. Having been sort of posting pictures of random nonsense that you can buy in service stations now for some years, it has become slim pickings of late. It's almost as if they've noticed what's happening and saying, oh, we should probably just sell more sensible things. So I haven't found a Charles wetsuit, for example, in the Midlands for quite some time. But yeah, the Harry Styles unofficial crochet set that I found in Leicester Forest East, which I have Googled this morning to find out the official one. There isn't an official one. So the unofficial one's all you can get. And at Leicester Forest East Services, £7. If you were to purchase that on Amazon this afternoon, Colin, cost you £16.99. So it does show you that there is value to be found at the services. And I'm quite pleased about that, because I'm spending quite a lot of time there at the moment.
I love the way somebody might have just tuned in now.
What on earth is this? Not whilst making notes going, oh, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Harry Styles, yeah. Good Christmas present. Brilliant to speak to you. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Absolutely. Cheers, Colin. Take care. Speak soon.
Always excellent to chat to Phil on the show. He'll be bringing you live commentary from Adams Park on Saturday. Wickham Wanderers at home to Crawley. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Unusual, isn't it, for a Saturday? Also on Wanderers TV as well, where you can hear the full interview with Matt Bloomfield after Tuesday night's draw at Oakwell, where he talks more about winning corners. Also, of course, on future episodes of this show, we'll be giving you more Christmas gift ideas as well. But crocheted Harry Styles, I do. It is an option, although admittedly not Wickham Wanderers related. Second part of the Wickham Wanderers show on the way here on Wickham Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
Still to come on this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers show, we'll hear from Wickham Wanderers women forward Jess Watkins, who joined the side in the summer, the first summer signing, I believe, as well. We'll catch up with men's manager Matt Bloomfield as well. But first, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association, we'll preview the 14th annual dinner, which is happening on November the 15th. And one of the special guests is someone who holds the club record for goals in a season, 26. Let's take you back to the early 2000s, and when Scott McLeish signed from Northampton, he felt that it was a club that was already well established when it comes to those 30 years in the Football League.
Obviously, Paul Lambert being the manager, so a high profile name as in his playing career. the club was on an upward trajectory at the time, doing really well when I signed. They were semi-finalists of the League Cup against Chelsea, and I was signing just after that. So, yeah, it was very much looked like, from the outside, a very well-run club.
And did it feel like to you as well a good time in your career to be coming? So obviously, I think it was sort of early 30s, when you sort of 33 when you came, and obviously you played at other clubs as well. But did it feel like a really good time to be arriving?
Yeah, I'd had what I felt was a productive couple of seasons at Northampton under Colin Calderwood. Then John Gorman come in again. Felt like it was going okay. He made me captain. So I felt like my career and the way it was going, even though I was sort of like, sort of getting to mid-30s, I suppose, was going really well. And then once John Gorman was sacked or left through illness, Stuart Gray took over, and the chairman decided to put me on transfer list. Not just me, all the forwards at Northampton. And it came to fruition that Wickham and Paul Lambert would definitely be interested. And I come to have a chat, and instantly from the chat, I felt, yeah, this is where I want to be.
And you were obviously brought in for goals, and I'm sure you must have felt that was something you still had plenty of in you.
Yeah, it was quite strange, because obviously you want to play every game, and the older you get, you definitely want to be playing because you know it's coming to an end as such. But so when I come in February, it was quite strange. Obviously, Jermaine Easter and Tommy Mooney were still there and scored plenty of goals, done really well. And I come in and was sort of mainly sub. And it wasn't thinking I'm better than them, because obviously the boys went on. Tommy had played much higher level previous. Jammer went on to play international afterwards. It was just where I was coming from as a league, at the time, League One striker, captain, scoring goals. So then come to League Two, I had to bide my time a lot. And in the summer, Paul Lambert kind of said to me, look, don't worry, next year you'll be playing. I've gone with the boys that have done so well for us for the semi-finals, and I had to accept it. So that was quite hard. But then the pre-season come, obviously Jammer was looking to go, Tommy was leaving, and Paul was true to his word. And the next year I'll be playing, and it'll be down to me to keep the shirt. And I'd like to think I've done enough to keep the shirt most weeks.
And did you feel there was extra pressure on you, or perhaps you had a point to prove as such?
I had a point to prove because of me. I mean, I said to Paul in the summer, look, if you don't fancy me after seeing me in training, then fine. That's football. We'll move on. I went, but if you fancy me, I'm going to score goals. And so I put myself under that pressure of wanting to play. And once you want to play, you've got to score goals. And I say, thankfully, I managed to back myself up.
And did you feel you were settling into the team really quickly and were a key part of it very quickly as well, especially, as you say, with the goals you scored?
Yeah, like I say, the first sort of 4-3 months, that was an easy bedding period for me. I weren't playing, so I could come in, I could get used to certain things, the way it was coached, the different things we'd done in training, because everyone's slightly different. So coming in the summer, I was ready to go, and I was really thankful for that.
Was there a sense that, you know, you could get, did you sort of set yourself a target, how many you could get, or did you feel that, you know, as a striker, this literally, like, this is my job to get goals, I'll just get as many as I can?
Yeah, I kind of set a target every year, and it was like, I was never one of those, like, got to get 20, got to get 25. It was just like, beat the year before. And if you beat the year before, that means you're improving. And that's all I ever set myself, was to beat the year before, try and beat the year before. And the 2 years previously, Northampton, I hit 17, then I hit 24. And then I think the final season there, I was on 13, and then I come into Wickham and I think scored 4 or 5. So didn't beat the year before, but obviously when you change teams, it becomes a slightly harder target. So yeah, my aim was literally beat the season before, and I managed to get 26 goals. So I've done that.
And now the record in a season as well, which must be so proud a thing for you to have.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it still existed. But yeah, any record's obviously nice to have, but you also want to see the clubs do well, and any player that breaks it, that's fine, because that means your old club's doing well.
And did it occur to you any point in the season that you thought, oh, this could be, you know, a real, you know, haul for me in terms of the campaign?
Yeah, I mean, you go through spells, and I could tell at one point I'd scored something like 13 in 14 games or 13 in 12, something like that. And you just felt like, I'm going to get a chance. I knew every game I was going to get a chance. And it was, even if I didn't score that one, I'd get another chance because the way we were playing, we were creating chances and I was scoring. So you just feel as a striker that you will get a chance. And the way I was going to score.
And so many memorable ones, at least two come to mind as well, which were goal of the season contenders, one of which was goal of the season, of course.
So we had, I think it was Darlington. I hit one outside the box, dropped down. And then obviously we had the MK Dons one, which was a volley that sort of flew over. I think it was Willie Goretz's goal, or over his head and bounced in. They're the two memorable ones for me. But no, I'd say, it don't have to be spectacular ones. Some of the ones I felt were good goals were might have been a good build-up play and reaction by me coming off the keeper and anticipating where the next one was where it was going to fall for me to shoot.
Well, I'm sure you'd be very modest and saying, you know, a lot of it's not down to you, it's down to your teammates providing the opportunities.
Yeah, and you look at what we had midfield-wise, because most of my assists are really obviously from midfield, but Sergio Torres, Matty Bloomfield, Tommy Dock, Gary Holt, Stephen Oakes. You know what I mean? We had good midfielders who knew the game well and could create goals for you. And that's without the likes of Russell Martin playing right back, Woody playing left back. You know what I mean? We had creators and good crosses of the ball.
It must have felt like that was a really good, you know, sort of nucleus of the team at that time and, you know, rightfully felt to get to the playoffs as well.
Yeah, and probably disappointed in the end result of the play. Of course we are, but to get there, to do what we've done to get there, yeah, we're immensely proud, but you always want to go that one step further.
And what was it like playing under the manager?
It was quite strange. He was probably how they are now, and he was very much not there, but you knew when he was there. He tried to make it that if I'm there, you know I'm here sort of thing. So like managers, before that, they were every training session and they took the training session with the coaches where Paul would be very much, no, I'm not in today. It's down to Ian Culverhouse. He knows what I want. And then when the gaffer's there, it was like, oh, gaffer's here, kind of like pick yourself up almost. Not that you should be at it every day. Of course you should, but it just had that sense of, like, gaffer's here today.
And I imagine as well, very disappointing to leave. But, you know, I guess you can sort of look back and with such pride on what you achieved during your time at the club.
Yeah, the manner in the way I left wasn't obviously the way anyone would like to leave. I had a fallout with Peter Taylor, quite publicly well known. I went on loan, done okay, come back, got asked to go on loan to Orient again, and Peter said he'd have a think about it. He said if he lets me go, he's letting goals out the building. He wanted me to come back from my Northampton loan, and I wanted to come back and fight for my position. Then Orient come in to take me on loan again, moving up a division, which is normally not what happens when you go on loan. You normally go down one. And we trained, and after the training session, Peter just said, yeah, I've had to think about it, and you can go. And I was like, oh, I obviously didn't train too well. Made a bit of a joke about it. But, yeah, I probably needed it as well because I knew me and Peter just didn't see eye to eye on things. And sometimes that happens, and at the end of the day, he's the manager of the club and he's got to manage the situation and the club for his benefit and for the club's benefit, not for Scott McLeish's benefit.
Well, you have such a great relationship with the fans as well, though, a real favourite. Obviously helped with the goals that you scored.
Yeah, I think the goals obviously help. Maybe sometimes the celebrations, a little somersault and that goes down well. But no, that was, I'd like to think most clubs I've been at, I've managed to have a really good rapport with the fans, and that was no different at Wickham. There was a couple of sticky periods. Of course, there were a couple of mistruths or misunderstandings that people had read that I've said, and it wasn't actually said in that manner, but that's football as well. You get on with it.
And overall, how do you look back at your time at the club?
Fond memories. Still people there that I know. Obviously, Matty Bloomfield's the manager now. So speak with Matty quite a bit with my work as well. But no, yeah, fond memories of the club. Went to watch them play at Wembley when they were in the playoffs. So, yeah, if I didn't have fond memories, I wouldn't be going back to watch them whenever I could.
And are you in touch with many of your other teammates as well?
From Wickham days. So now and then I've spoke with Holty, Bloomers, yeah, seen Russell and Mike Williamson due to their managing and me working for the PFA, been into their clubs. Woody saw for a little while, but other than that, no, not really spoke to or see any more than that, really.
And obviously you're enjoying your life now as well. As you touched on, your PFA work, that sounds really interesting. And Wickham's being on your patch, and you spend time, obviously, at the training ground as well.
Yeah, I work with the PFA, the Football Union. Been 10 years now there. And Wickham's always been one of the clubs I look after. We get assigned clubs. And I started off with 25, so to not be one of my clubs would have been hard when I had 25 at one point. But we've slowly developed the department, and now we're sort of around about 8 or 9 each, and Wickham stayed one of my clubs.
And incredible, I can imagine, to be able to use your experience to relate to other players now as well.
Yeah, and I mean, the idea is we're trying to look after the players, thinking about after football as much as with football. But yeah, I go into some clubs and someone will say, oh, Scott was a striker, to the young ones who may not know me. And then you just have a chat about certain things. It could be just football related. It could just be about outside of football while you're playing football. It's a really different role to be there to help the players. The hardest thing now is just reminding the boys when I played, social media was next to nothing. I think it was MySpace and just about Facebook. But now anything they put down in social media can come back and bite them later on. So they've got to be careful what they write as a youngster, as a player, because everything now will be scrutinised. And that's what we definitely, like the clubs are, players, us as a union, just reminding players, be careful. Yes, it's your opinion, but you've got to stay within the confines of certain boundaries from the FA, from your club. You don't want to be fined. You don't want to be banned. And yeah, I think that's the biggest sort of difference between my time and now.
And really satisfying, I imagine, for you to see, you know, someone who you played with now being the manager of the club as well.
Yeah. Matty, I mean, the amount of years service he gave the club as a player, to then go into sort of a player coach role, stroke coach role, to then leave, to become his own manager, and now to come back. It's really nice to see. But again, if you look at another two players of the same squad, Mike Williamson and Russell Martin, Gary Holt previously, it's good to see the teammates from this sort of era get the job. But Matty getting the Wickham job, yeah, that's big, because like I say, Matty's Wickham through and through.
Does it feel like a long time ago that you're at the club as a player, banging in the goals, or does it feel like, you know, only yesterday, really?
Depends on the day. Some days it feels very long time ago. but others, like I say, the other day there was the player who scored 4 goals for Wickham. And then all of a sudden there was a bit on social media and people were telling me, oh, he's the first one to score 4 goals since I have for the club. And you see the videos and you're reliving the videos of me scoring 4 against Mansfield. And that feels like yesterday still. I still remember fighting for what was the second goal, but technically to be my 4th goal, because the league didn't want to give me it.
Yeah, that was strange, wasn't it? How did that make you feel at the time as well? Because I guess you imagined you got the 3 and you think, oh, I could still get more. And like you say, it was only given to you later on.
Yeah, and I mean, after the game, I was instantly saying 4. And they were going, but the defender went, but it was going in. It's hit the defender on the line. If he's not there, it's in. And he's middle a goal. So it was never going. So to fight it, but yeah, and I mean, obviously, I'd got a hat trick anyway. But yeah, it was, as all strikers do, I was fighting for the goals because it goes on my tally, and I knew it was a goal for me. So I thought we fought for it, and the club fought for it, to be fair, and then it got changed.
Really nice, as you say, to have that record, not only to be the leading goal scorer in a season, but also, you know, as you say, to get 4 goals like that in a game, which hasn't been done, as we mentioned, for a while. And, you know, you must be so proud of your contribution during your time at the club as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we got to the playoffs. They got promoted in the second year. I wasn't there to come the end of it, but still played some part in that up till Christmas. So, yeah, I feel I contributed to some sort of part of the club's history.
and really great to see how they've developed. It's like one season in the Championship, and as you say, at Wembley a couple of times as well.
Yeah, getting to Wembley obviously was big. Losing one, winning one. It was a shame that when they got to the Championship, it was COVID, so there was no fans. That was a shame. But like I say, they've set good foundations from that Championship season where they've been challenging in and around the playoffs ever since in League One.
And I'm sure you've got a soft spot for all the clubs that you've played at, but what would you say makes Wickham sort of so special?
Probably the friendships from these players, like I say, Matty, Russell and that, afterwards. Sometimes you go to clubs, you get on well with the fans, this, that, the other. I was still playing for Wealdstone and there was Wickham fans turning up at Wealdstone. And then it's like, why are you here? And I've played at many other non-league clubs since, and every time a Wickham fan has been there, they've always come up and said hello. So it's a real friendly family club. I've made good friends from the players there. And even some of the staff I've made good friends with of in the back room, in the offices, that I still speak to that are not at the club no more.
And I'm sure as well fans will be really pleased to hear from you and hear that you're doing well. And what would be your message to them?
Well, if they don't fancy going to watch a Wickham game, if it's not on or at home and they fancy coming to a Leverstock Green, then pop down and come and see me be a coach at Leverstock Green in step four. That would be nice. But yeah, I'm sure I'll be down to a game soon as well, midweek, just to come and see the boys.
And how do you find coaching yourself? I guess it's sort of the next best thing to playing, really.
Very frustrating, especially the level we're at. We're a small club, village club, got promoted last year, done really well, promotion. Won a cup, runner-up in a cup. And then this year, we're going up a level. The ground's got to be upgraded. We're trying to now, if we can, get a playing budget for the players. Last year, the players didn't even get expenses. We're trying to at least get them some sort of mileage expense now. So it's frustrating. And because of that, players obviously miss games. So you feel like you're fighting a battle. But when it comes to the training, I love the coaching. I love doing the training. I love setting up drills and coaching the boys, and we'll turn it around. We're confident of that. But yeah, it's a different challenge, that's for sure. Because obviously now I'm very much involved, not just in the playing, and in also involved in trying to get the ground up to grade and help there if I can.
All the best with your coaching for the rest of the season. Obviously your PFA work as well, and congratulations and thank you for the memories and all the goals as well. It's been fantastic to chat to you again.
No problem.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderer show. Still to come, we'll catch up with manager Matt Bloomfield, looking ahead to the visit of Crawley Town on Saturday to Adams Park. But we'll turn our attention to Wycombe Wanderers women, whose first team got a 0-0 draw at Sholing on Sunday. This coming weekend, the under-18s are at home. They're taking on Goffs Oak under-18s. That's on Saturday. I might have said Sunday. This will be confusing, won't you? The next day, that is Sunday, the 6th of October, if you're interested, the development sides travel to Kidlington Youth, where the first have a home game at Burnham against Badshot Lee. And I've been speaking to summer signing Jess Watkins to find out about her football journey.
I've been playing since the age of 7. I was started playing in just a boys team and with my dad and brother in the garden. And then when I was in the boys team, I got scouted at Chelsea Academy. So then I went to Chelsea for a couple years.
Oh, that's fantastic. And was it quite quick to sort of discover which position you favoured best?
Well, right up until like uni time, I was CDM, but now I play on the wing or striker. So I think it just changes as you get older.
And you play for a few clubs. How have you found that sort of fitting in? And because I've been in different parts of the country as well, of course.
Yeah, so I'll just tell you a little backstory. So I did Chelsea, but when I was younger, I feel like no one really told you that football could be a career for girls. So I just kind of, when I said I wanted to give up with it, my parents were just like, yeah, that's fine, just do whatever. So I quit Chelsea and I just played for a local team just for fun, right up until uni. And then when I went to uni, I played for the uni team. And then lockdown happened and all my friends were downloading TikTok and I was like, oh, okay, I'll download it, whatever. And I started seeing people doing football content and I really enjoyed watching it. So I thought I'd try and upload some of my own football videos. and they started doing really well. And then I decided to try and do the Road to Pro journey. So I documented it all on TikTok of me trying to go from Sunday League, which is what I was in, to Pro. And I managed to get to Tier 3, the National League, one below the Championship, in under a year, and played there for a couple seasons. And then I went to Australia and played second highest division in Australia. And now I'm playing for Wickham.
That's quite a journey.
Yeah, and now TikTok's my full-time job as well. So,
oh, that's fantastic. What was your kind of initial reaction when your videos did so well?
I was so shocked, because everyone's like, oh, you want to be like TikTok famous or something, like taking the mick out of it. And then suddenly my videos started doing really well, and I was like, what is happening? So yeah, it's quite surreal.
You must get great reaction as well from you know, I guess youngsters, but also, you know, anyone wanting to be in your position as well.
I didn't even know it could be a career or job or anything. So it was, yeah, quite a shock.
Because I guess people might not realise, but there's so much kind of like working with brands as well and all that sort of other endorsement that you do.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I've worked with Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, Puma, like all of the big football sports brands. So it's pretty cool.
And it's so impressive to watch. Seeing some of the videos as well. I know there's one where you're actually sort of juggling a ball and reading a book at the same time. And that's quite impressive.
Yeah. Thinking of new ideas like every day is really difficult, to be honest. But I mean, at the start it was pretty easy, but when you get through, like, I don't want to keep repeating the same ideas, so you have to think of new things and adapt your content. But yeah, I mean I love it. It's the best job I probably will or ever have, so I'm thankful.
I mean, there's obviously a positive side, but also I was watching a video where you've been sort of promoting kind of dealing with the negative side of it as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. When I first started, I think the negativity was the worst. And I was saying to my mum, like, I didn't realise that people still had these opinions, especially sexist opinions. And I said to my mum, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I was like crying and stuff. And she was like, no, just don't listen to these people. And I'm so glad I didn't listen, because otherwise I wouldn't get any of the opportunities I get now. So yeah, it's still about, but hopefully it's getting better.
Do you think that's really good in a way? Because you've been able to develop that resilience and that may well have helped your game as well.
Yeah, definitely. One of the main things that a lot of girls message me and say, how did you like move up the ranks so quickly? And I think there's a few different things. Like, number one is that I never had like a one-to-one coach. I always just got trained within the team. And I always say to people, if you can afford it, definitely try and get a one-to-one coach, because they actually like focus on you solely for the whole hour, instead of like when you're in a team, I don't know, you might focus on defensive things and you're an attacker or whatever. And then the second thing is, I don't think people realize that you could literally just Instagram DM, message, email teams and ask for a trial. I think a lot of people think, oh, you have to wait till the trials happen and like you have to apply for it, and oh, I'm never going to get a trial with like an academy or a championship team because I haven't played in that tier before. But I've literally got trials. I had a trial with a championship team. Like, I just literally messaged them and asked to come for a trial and they said yes. I didn't get in, but still, like, the opportunities are out there. Even with the Australia teams, I just emailed and messaged them, lined up 9 different teams. I got paid to play out there. And I don't think people realize that just asking is the way to go forward. And just, if you get rejected, you will get rejected, and that's it. It's fine.
What was your experience in Australia like?
Oh, so good. Like, the lifestyle out there is amazing. I loved the lifestyle. I love the team that I played for. They are like, definitely in London, it's so hard to get a pitch and for teams to let you go on the pitch. But we had a really nice AstroTurf pitch, and my manager just gave me the keys and was like, just use it whenever you want, like to train, to film or whatever. So it was perfect. But the only problem with Australia is just so far away. And I don't think the women's game or even football is as developed as it is in England and like Europe. So there wasn't that many opportunities out there in terms of like my content and things like that. Like, if you go into a bar or something, it's like Aussie rules or rugby or cricket playing. It's never football. So that's the only thing that was the downside to it.
And their snacks are very different, of course.
Yeah.
You won't be going near Vegemite again, it appears.
No, I didn't like Vegemite at all.
And how did your move to Wickham come about?
So I was on a shoot with Imani, and yeah, we just met on a shoot, and she said she was playing for Wickham, and she was telling me all about it and how great the club is. And so I came down for a trial and I really enjoyed it and, yeah, signed.
What were your initial impressions? Because you seem to have fitted in so well.
My initial thing was I was playing in tier three and for London Bees, and I just wasn't enjoying football as much as what I have been in the past. So yeah, I just wanted to enjoy football again, get back minutes and improve as well. And I love the, like, when I went to the team, everyone was really welcoming. I like how Wickham's really pushing the women's team and stuff, and there seems to be support from people behind the scenes. And yeah, even like when we were at the FA Cup game, having three photographers there, I've never had that at a team before, where they're like really pushing, getting us out on social media and like just pushing the women's team a bit more. I really like that.
No, it's fantastic that the chair girls are getting such support, and you must be so pleased to have been amongst the goals already.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. We all decided on our celebrations before, so I was glad I actually got to do mine.
I think people like the cold one, don't they?
Yeah, I like the cold one. I support Chelsea, so.
And also, of course, to be part of a game where you won 13-1 must have been an incredible sort of morale booster for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. Yeah, so good. Enjoyed it a lot.
And do you set yourself kind of personal targets and also what you'd like to achieve for the team this season?
Well, I want to score as many goals as possible, obviously, as an attacker, and assists as well. But yeah, just enjoy it. Hopefully score lots of goals. We still want to win the league, and I think that's still the main aim. So I want to help the team win the league, hopefully.
And obviously, you know, many of the players obviously have outside kind of jobs that is quite different to football, but yours is very sort of football based as well, which must really help as well for your game.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I go through when the match videos get taken out, I like going through them because I can cut clips for my own TikTok and stuff. So it helps me because it's basically my work watching through the matches anyway and stuff. So it's really good. And I want to do more match day vlogs as well. Now that I've settled in a bit more and stuff, I think it would be fun to do match day vlogs and things like that.
And as you say, it's really great to be able to get content from yourself, obviously, but for the club as well, to really promote the women's game locally and further afield as well.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. Like Darcy, our social media girl, like she always sends me bits and I put it on my story and obviously tag Wickham and stuff. So yeah, it's good for both ends.
Is it still a surprise to you, even since lockdown, how popular it's been and how it's really sort of taken off and how people are enjoying what you're doing?
Yeah, it is surprising. Like, it's surprising it's not surprising in a way, because like, I think the women's game does deserve this. Like, if you look, the Lionesses won, you know, the Euros in England and it was amazing. And we've done so well. We came second in the World Cup. And I think women's football does deserve that recognition. And I think brands and most women's football clubs, even men's football teams are seeing that now and putting more, putting more investment into the game, which I love as well. So it's great.
And are there players at high level that really inspire you as well?
Yeah, there's a few. I've met Lucy Bruns before. She's really cool and really inspiring. Lauren James, I love her as a player. Like, I think she's, like, watching her, I think she's so cool. Same with Chloe Kelly. I like skilly players. And I've met Mary Earps as well, and she's a really great person and inspiring as well. So, yeah.
Nice to know as well that, you know, young girls and obviously other younger players on the team really look up to you and what you're doing as well. That must be a nice feeling, and perhaps to be able to help and inspire them too.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really nice feeling. And I see some of the girls, like, I've got a couple of girls that follow me that have gone to like Man City academies and stuff. And I even went to watch one of them before, and they are so good now. Like, the young girls coming through are actually insane. Like, I think the level is going to be so high in a few years. So I'm excited to see that.
I think it really surprises people, doesn't it, who don't watch women's football, how you know, high the skill level is. And because I think people have, especially comparatively till recently, there's quite a sort of strange perception, isn't there, of women's football about the pace of the game or the skill that's involved.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, I don't know if this is kind of controversial, but I think that, you know, I don't really think we need to compare like women's and men's football. Like, it's two different games and you can appreciate both of them. And if I just think that women's football is women's football, and if you like it, then great. And if you don't, then that's absolutely fine. But just, yeah, give it a chance, because yeah, there's like, we all know men are naturally physically stronger and stuff, but if you actually watch the game, like skill level, like dead ball kicking, stuff like that, free kicks, penalties, like you saw Chloe Kelly's one in the Women's World Cup, like it's pretty much the same standard. So, and the games are exciting, like you still get really exciting, like big goal games or, you know, games that go to penalties and stuff. It's the same thing. So yeah, just give it a chance. And I think most people that do give it a chance are pleasantly surprised.
It's a really good message. And does it feel like a really good time to be joining Wickham and that sort of project and hopefully getting promotion at the end of it?
Yeah, really exciting. Like I definitely made the right decision, I think, with joining Wickham this season. All the girls are great and I think we can pull together and we can hopefully win the league. Yeah, I have faith.
Well, that's fantastic. We wish you all the best for the season and obviously the upcoming games. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure to chat to summer signing Jess Watkins as well. Look out for more goals from her throughout the season and keeping track on her progress as well. We'll be speaking to more of the chair girls throughout this campaign as well. Finally on the show though, let's turn our attention to Saturday and the visit of Crawley Town. Manager Matt Bloomfield has been speaking to Phil.
Gaffer, back at home after two long away trips. Home comforts.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. We feel like the two away games have gone fairly well. In terms of the way we've performed, two tough games, and to come back with 4 points, we're really pleased with. But you know, we're coming up against a good Crawley team at the weekend, change of manager, so there's loads of things that go into it. So we're looking forward to being back at home.
Looked at my notes yesterday. It seems to me that we tend to play teams just after they've changed manager. Have you noticed that too?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was just my bias, so I'm glad you noticed it as well. It does seem to happen a few times. It obviously makes preparation slightly different. Because, you know, ultimately a new manager will have his own ideas. But from the outside, it looks like they've recruited a manager who fits the style of the football club already. Obviously, Scott Lindsay has a real distinct, defined way of playing. And Rob, following on from Mike up at Gateshead, obviously, you know, very, very similar. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of similarities, hence the appointment. But, you know, a new manager will want to have his own twist on it as well.
There's always the new manager bounce that the media will speak about as well. So it's not ideal, is it, when, you know, we talk about the difference for preparation as well, but everyone will be putting more effort in because the new manager's in. They'll all be trying really hard, I guess.
Yeah, that's the perception, isn't it? So we'll see if that's true or not. You know, Crawley are a good team, mate. I think they're second in possession behind Birmingham in the whole league and second in progressive carries in the whole league behind Birmingham as well. So they've got some dribblers, they've got some boys who can carry the ball. They certainly retain possession extremely well, so we have to be prepared for that, and we have to be really solid in our structure and our shape, because they're a team that can pull you about if you allow them to. So yeah, they've got definitely got some good players and a real defined style. Like I say, the new manager will have his own ideas how he wants to imprint in that, but we already know that they've got some real good possession based players.
And you know, short term as well, they had a fantastic playoff campaign in League Two, great day at Wembley. And they've, you know, not struggled to find their feet, but we're still in that first 10-game period. But you've talked about the stats. That hasn't quite reflected into results for them yet.
No, I just think we need to be really mindful of the fact that they're a very good team. And, you know, they've had a couple of tough results recently, but that doesn't take away from the fact that they started the season extremely well. Like I say, and they've got a real defined style, distinct style about them. And they've now recruited a new manager, which is going to give them that added extra and impetus for Saturday's game. So, yeah, it's a real tough one for us. So we have to concentrate on ourselves. And as always, as I always preach, be the best that we can be and imprint ourselves on the game. And if we do that, then we believe that we can have a good game against a very good team.
And as a home team as well, you know, it's a chance to really sort of start making Adams part of that fortress in the league.
Yeah, I think so. We've, you know, not gone too bad recently. And we're pleased with the way things have gone at home. We want to... I've spoken about it a few times. We want to entertain our supporters. We want to play on the front foot, but we have to be really respectful of our opposition as well. We can't be erratic in our approach to the games. You know, we've had some good days already, but we have to be really kind of secure in what we're trying to do. So, yeah, we want to entertain at home. I want our supporters to look forward to coming and watching us, and we want to give them some good results to cheer. So, all those things going into the game, you know, like I say, it's got the ingredients to be a good game Saturday.
And in terms of squad fitness and stuff, two tough away trips, how's that looking going into the home game?
It's definitely something we have to be mindful of. You know, two long trips, Tuesday night, the boys wouldn't have got in bed till 4 or 5 in the morning and up. You know, so we're back in, we want to make sure we're prepared and everything. One thing I forgot to say on Tuesday night was thank you to the guys who came to follow us to Barnsley, by the way, because I say it's you know, we get back at whatever time in the morning, but, you know, those guys got up and went to work, I'm sure, the next day. So I apologise for not mentioning that Tuesday after the game. Thank you so much for those guys, because, you know, it's so nice to see, you know, a lot of the same faces following us to Bristol, up to Barnsley, and giving us their support. So thank you for that. The boys got back late, so we're trying to recover the best we can. You know, there'll be inevitably be some kind of fresh legs on the pitch, and we have to make sure we're ready to run, because, you know, again, against a possession-based team, we have to make sure we're really fit and at it.
Just peeking over the brow into next week, no Tuesday night fixture, which a few weeks we've not had one of those now. So you must be looking forward to that for A, rest and recuperation for the players, but B, just to spend time with them at the training ground.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when you're in the thick of things in the games, it's all about the match prep and you know, picking a team and, you know, a different, you know, match prep for each game. But when you get a free Saturday to Saturday, or even longer with the international breaks occasionally we get, you get to work on yourselves a little bit more. So it's about trying to balance that up. And when you get that opportunity to do it, then grab it. So, yeah, without a midweek game next week, we're looking forward to getting back on the training ground and getting some good workings.
Always great to hear from the manager on the show, of course. Looking ahead to the visit of Crawley Town on Saturday. It's the first game at Adams Park since that Tuesday night under the lights in the Carabao Cup third round against Aston Villa. If you were part of the 8,158 that were at the game that night and thought, oh, it'd be fantastic to see more of Wickham, this is your next opportunity. It's the 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. If you're not going, you'll hear full match commentary here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV as well. Thanks to all the guests this week on the show. Fantastic to catch up with Scott McLeish. Also to Jess Watkins, and of course big thanks to Phil. If you're not about on a Thursday at 7, though, of course you can catch up with the podcast. We're available on the Radio Player page on Wickham Sound's website and on YouTube as well. Have a fantastic week. Let's have our fingers crossed for 3 points on Saturday and at least another 2 goals as well. That'd be good.